Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished and senior professional from Mumbai, India, Mr. Vinayak Kamath. Vinayak, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashutosh. Thanks for having me on your very prestigious show.
Thank you. Vinayak is the co-founder and partner of Hearth Ventures, which is India's first mentor fund for craft and circular economy enterprises. Vinayak is also an alumni of the Jamnalal Bajaj Institute of Management Sciences, which is also my alma mater, even though I'm much, much older and more senior to Vinayak. So Vinayak, before we start talking about Hearth, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Okay, so I started off with 2 degrees, an engineering degree from BITS Pilani, and then a management degree from Jamnalal Bajaj back to back. And if I were to say, you know, my professional journey, it's in four parts, right? The first was as a corporate executive, working with Indian multinationals like Arvind Mills, and then with GE for a couple of years. Another part was as an entrepreneur, where I've co-founded a couple of companies, one with a very modest exit, and one is still, continues to be run by the other founder. The third is as an investor, working for private equity, and then now you could say I'm in the fourth leg, which is investing with purpose. So Hearth is aspires to be an institution that invests with purpose. So a purposeful investor.
Very interesting. So let's start talking about Hearth Ventures. You say it is an investment or a venture that invests with purpose. Tell me a little bit more about it. And what was your motivation to start it?
Okay. So, a couple of years back, just before the pandemic or around the time of the pandemic, I guess we all go through these stages in life when you say, what next? I circled back with, someone who was my ex-boss, who was starting an initiative, a philanthropic initiative for the handicraft sector. And then he asked the question, is there something more that we can do for this sector? For instance, why aren't there Indian, handicraft brands? You struggle beyond two names to say, speak of brands which have reached any scale. So why aren't there global Indian brands in this sector? Is there something we can do? So we spoke with, a whole lot of, experts in this sector, which is entrepreneurs, non-profit heads, social evangelists, people of influence in the craft sector. And this, to cut a long story short, we reached the conclusion that what this sector is missing is at-risk capital. It had every other thing. It had philanthropic, it had philanthropic money. It had all the right people with the right intent, it had a skill base, because if you see, India, there are studies which says that, there are anywhere from 20 million to 200 million, artisans on various handcraft forms, depending on who you ask. And I can quote some studies, for those who would like to delve further. But, after agriculture, this is the second largest,
employer.
And it comes from a very deep native skill base, right? It's not as if, for the IT sector, for instance, you had to upskill people, right?
Correct.
And here you have skill attrition, traditional art forms dying because they're not nurtured and mentored, right? So we tossed up various alternatives. Should we set up a marketing and distribution arm to take, Indian craft form global? Should we set up a combination of that plus design expertise? But then we said, if there is at-risk capital, and from our learnings of other sectors, if there is at-risk capital, everything else will fall in place. Like if you hark back to, 2009, if anyone said they were setting up a venture fund for the agri sector, Right? I'm sure there would have been a lot of question marks and skepticism, right?
Correct.
But we hope to be the first, and it's a sort of rejuvenation or revival of a very deep traditional Indian art form.
Mm.
You can indulge me a little longer, right? We said that the same kind of market audience, right, who would prefer, the very beautiful, handmade, artistic products would be the same who would be very conscious customers, right? The customer persona is the same, right? So we said, in addition to, being, working for the craft sector, let's expand our remit to look at, cultural enterprises overall. Creative and cultural enterprises, and also circular economy, customer-facing circular economy.
Right.
So this gives a, sets us up for a nice portfolio construct where, we can, look at taking all these sectors forward. I'll pause.
Very interesting. So, tell me, how are you supporting a lot of these artisans to realize their potential?
Okay. So our, we are one level removed, although we are very integral to the process, So we work with artisan entrepreneurs and design entrepreneurs.
Correct.
More of the latter. And they in turn work with the artisans.
The artisans,
right?
Absolutely.
But our whole investment process, it's like, having impact on livelihoods, is table stakes for us. The first criteria for us to look at any deal is, are they working really with, with the artisans and with the creative grassroots producers?
Yeah.
And then there is, a more nuanced diligence on, how are they perceived by those artisans, are they perceived as a fair entrepreneurial partner by the artisans? Look, one of the reasons why, in traditional industries, whether it's agriculture or in handicrafts, some of the problems that the producer has faced is, unscrupulous middlemen.
Correct.
That has contributed to, lower agricultural productivity of the country or, attrition in the art forms, right? Because of exploitation, So our first check is, entrepreneurs, who have a level of credibility, So if you were to draw a corporate analogy, it's like a 360-degree, appraisal where, the people down the line, evaluate.
Very interesting. And when you say that Hearth Ventures is India's first mentor fund, how do you define the word mentor fund?
Right. So, one of the things that we saw, native to this sector, unlike, in the tech sectors, all the hyphenated, fintech, edtech, healthtech, right? The word on the street is that, the IITians and the MBAs and people like us, got there. They were not necessarily from the industry and, they went there and started running businesses in these sectors. And that's why venture capitalists followed where they went. And that's how those sectors flourished. What we see here is a dearth of, so there is native entrepreneurial ability. But there are no examples of scale in this sector. And we with, we bring in, business management experience, all of us who have founded this venture have run large global businesses. And there are learnings and, learnings not just from our large business experiences. We've also been, investors, mentors to startups in other sectors. So there is, conflation of that learning with the native, entrepreneurial and the design ability. So what we say, trying to coin a pithy definition for saying we provide capital and something else to scale your business. And that we call as a mentor fund. You know?
So interesting.
Unlike, say, a conventional investor who says value addition to say, you know, they'll help with hiring and governance, you know, typically, in addition to the investing and this hiring and governance support, we are willing to go several levels deep, you know.
Fascinating.
Just to illustrate a little bit, if I may, you know, in one of the investments, we are venture building, in the sense we have a venture partner who spends, you know, two full days a week helping them with digital marketing, helping them with product portfolio, you know, rationalization.
Right.
Or feeding customer insights into product portfolio augmentation, helping them with pricing decisions, you know. So it's we go several layers on several different, you know, subject matters. That's why we say, you know, the pithy definition of that is mentor fund.
Very interesting. And what do you look for, Vinayak, before you decide to make an investment?
Okay. So, you know, if you ask any investor, the first thing they will tell you, and we will be no different, is we look at the quality of the entrepreneur. Right?
Correct.
But that's a very nuanced and very loaded statement, right? So I think one dimension of that or one flavor I gave you earlier in the conversation to say, you know, are they really, you know, purposeful? You know, are they really impactful? You know, are they really doing good, right? That, but those are table stakes, right? That does not say, can they build a large business, right? Then they would typically have, you know, a combination of some native ideas. So they would have design ideas, or they would have product development skills, you know, so one or two native skills in addition to this, you know, purpose. And then you overlay that with, they would have done something substantial in an earlier avatar. Right? And I can illustrate that through, you know, examples. So, for example, one of our entrepreneurs, you know, who's now in the handmade ethnic apparel space, you know, she was a tech executive in, you know, Silicon Valley, for example. Yeah. Another one has run a nonprofit with, you know, for almost 16 to 17 years now, right? And trained in, you know, close to, you know, a dozen artisan clusters, trained about 6,000 artisans through multilateral funds, and is touted as an example, you know, well-regarded, well-awarded example, right? So they've, so A, they have purpose. B, they have some native skills, which can be augmented through what we bring in.
Yeah.
And C, they have done something substantial in another avatar, right? So these would be, you know, our entry filters. I'll pause here.
Yeah. So, you know, Vinayak, when you spoke or have spoken about the need to build global brands for Indian handicraft, say, I'd love to get your perspective on what goes into building a global handicraft brand.
Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a tough one because we are also learning.
Correct.
Yeah. see, I think, you know, some of it is anecdotal, right? And some of it, and there is some research also to it.
Sure.
But the anecdotal bit is people are tired of, you know, industrial consumption. The new age and also, you know, the reforming, you know, older generations are all, you know, veering towards conscious consumption. Right?
Correct.
It's a product of, you know, awakening of their own consciousness. And it's also, you know, what they hear in the media and what is, you know, right, seem to be right to do. Now, right, so if those are tailwinds, right, that the customer is becoming conscious, right, the customer is looking, becoming more, you know, aware of, you know, aesthetics, right? So, you know, they don't want a factory produced, you know, say decor products, which, you know, look like the same that their neighbors and their friends and all of that have, right? They would, they would want to have something which is, you know, very individualistic, right? So the conscious consumption and the aesthetic, right? Those are the tailwinds that are, you know, helping the industry.
Very interesting.
But to build a global brand, really, right? one has to reframe the conversation, right? Mm. And if you look at the Indian crafts and the Indian product of some years back, right, the whole thing was to say, this is handmade, there will be some variation, there will be some different, there will be some defects, right? And this is, these are traditional designs and all of that. Right? Now, the whole discussion, right, the whole positioning has to be reframed.
Yeah.
To say that we are now serving a conscious global customer.
Correct.
And we are using our traditional artisanal skills to create products which have a contemporary appeal for a global customer, right? Mm. So the building of the organization starts from there. Right? Mm. So in one of our companies, for example, you have people from the US, from Germany, right? Who are volunteering, right? Designers who have run brands themselves, albeit in other industries.
Yeah.
So they're stepping in and we are incorporating that design language into the traditional production forms, right?
Right.
And then, so that's on the product design and product development itself. Mm. The other is in the manufacturing process, right? Mm-hmm. The whole, borrowing from the industrial era is standardization, so standardization and quality checks at source. So, the quality of the raw material that you use, the quality of the artisan training. So, in some of companies, it can be as long as 6 months of offline training investments, right? Mm. So you have a basic skill, but you hone that skill to perfection for 6 months offline. So raw materials, artisan skills, the dyes and colors that you use, the quality of that, So quality inspection at every, so borrowing from an industrial, analog, building quality into the product at every stage. So, and then capital, right? Mm. So you need capital. So you if you're addressing the US markets, and your decor is your product, you have to be at the fair at North Carolina,
correct,
Atlanta, at New York, and you have to be seen to be there because even though we've never met, and we are talking over technology, but eventually, right? People do business with people whom they see and trust, right?
Absolutely right.
So taking these entrepreneurs there, right? Mm. It's investment, outside of product development and outside of organization building. It's marketing capability and marketing presence building,
right?
So all of these, I think, the playbook for building an international brand, I think, will evolve. We are also learning.
Very interesting. My next question to you, Vinayak, is, given all the artisans you are supporting through entrepreneurs, for my viewers and listeners, tell me about some of your more iconic products that you have been supporting.
Ah, okay. Iconic. Iconic is, I think, also a function of who's articulating.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
For us, all our entrepreneurs are equal.
I agree.
Each of them is doing some groundbreaking.
But just give me some examples. I don't want to segregate anyone or anything like that.
So, for instance, this one of them is a horizontal platform. So, it has multiple categories. I'll come to that last. Right? Mm. But basketry is one category. Right? Mm-hmm. And there's a brand called Kadam Heart. Where we do basketry for decorative and utilitarian purposes,
right?
Like using natural grasses and natural materials, laundry baskets, so that very easily can go into a Walmart like situation and substitute a plastic, factory made plastic, because it's robust, it's utilitarian. Mm. On the other hand, the same woven products can be used for wall decor, coffee table decor, artistically crafted. Yeah. That's one. Mm-hmm. We have another company called A Big Indian Story. Mm-hmm. They do a couple of things. They use traditional, art forms like, kutch embroidery with recycled polyurethane to make, handbags, laptop bags, backpacks, and so on and so forth. And they're also using, they've helped a lot of leather stitchers of bags and accessories transitioned to vegan leather, right? So they use pineapple leather, Pinatex from Indonesia, apple leather from Turkey, cactus leather sourced from Mexico. And they've trained a lot of these leather, workers, in rural areas and in the slums of Mumbai and repurpose them. Those products command higher prices.
Yeah.
These guys get, better wages.
Mm.
And everyone, the customer sees such a nice, beautiful, product, but coming from, a very vegan, a very sustainable source.
Very interesting.
And so everyone wins in the process.
Yeah. Very interesting. Great examples. And I've time for two more questions.
Yeah.
My next question to you is that as a fund, at what stage do you look for an exit?
Okay. So the one thing about this sector, in a tech sector, the motto is fail forward, fail fast.
Mm.
Yeah. Here, I think it our early learning suggests that holding periods are longer. Right.
Mm.
So, if I were to hazard a guess and speak for a tech fund, they would look at whether if an investment is hitting the hockey stick within 3 or 4 years, then it will make it. Otherwise,
right.
not.
Right? Right.
And so, holding periods for any investment, or let's say the attention span of a fund manager for any investment will be 3 to 4 years, where you do, a couple of rounds and all that.
Mm.
Here we see that holding periods will be longer.
Mm.
Yeah. And therefore, we are preparing our investors and we are seeking out investors who understand longer holding periods, who share this philosophy and will be comfortable with longer holding periods.
Mm.
The hockey sticks will come. But more importantly, what you have to realize is, despite doing all the right things, it's possible to make a surplus. You can pay fair or better than fair wages.
Yeah.
You can have ethical products, right? And you can still churn a profit. And it is, it will be profitable growth. So if you look at, it's to go back to conventional finance,
right,
to say that our capital will yield better, return on capital employed. And that's how that exits, right?
Mm.
Old school finance 101, absolutely, rather than the valuation
game. Absolutely. Well said. And my last question to you, Vinayak, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey and the great work that you have been doing so far, what would you say are three lessons or three learnings you want our viewers and listeners to take away?
Okay. Actually, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first lesson is that if you, especially for professionals, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure, there's a lot of people who go in with a purpose and there's a lot of people who are trying to find their way, right?
Mm.
So I would always say, find a purpose and latch on to that purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything else will follow.
Yeah.
So it might not be, an obvious large market. It might not be glamorous, right? But if you latch onto a purpose and,
keep chipping away
energy and chip away. Thanks for the prompt.
Mm.
So finding your purpose, one. Two is, I don't want to stand on a soapbox, but it's worked for me. So I'll share that, it's a quote that, there is no limit to what you can achieve if you don't mind who gets the credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like build that ecosystem, which we are also trying to do. We don't want to be the winner takes all. We don't want to be the only fund. We want 5 other funds to be there so that, the whole world sits up and 5, 10, 15,
correct.
So the whole world sits up and takes notice and this becomes a sector.
Correct.
So, build that ecosystem.
Correct.
And the last thing is, life is not a zero-sum game.
Very interesting.
It is not.
And
so if the whole thing, and I this that's one of the things I wish I had learned earlier, is to question whether are you participating in a zero-sum game or are you creating a win-win situation?
Very interesting.
And when sorry, it sounded like a bit of a soapbox, but
no. This is very, very interesting learnings. And on that note, Vinayak, thank you so much for your three wonderful lessons, which are find a purpose and latch on to it. Second one you said was there is no limit to what you can achieve. And I love the second part of it, which is if you don't mind, who takes the credit? Very powerful statement. And the third one is life is not a zero-sum game. Thank you, Vinayak, for speaking to me about your journey, about everything that you've done in the professional world. Thank you for talking to me about Hearth Ventures and how you are supporting so many entrepreneurs in the space of the handicrafts and then the crafts. Thank you also for speaking to me about your investment philosophy. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's really a privilege to be part of your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.